the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Dina Dow and David Dawson. Good morning, guys.
Dina morning. Is in the studio.
I am. I've been laughing so hard this morning, I'm crying off my makeup.
You're going to stay with us the whole time.
The whole time.
I was going to say the whole day, but you don't want to do that.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Do you want to open with prayer?
Please, yes.
Today's prayer is from the opening collect for Mass. If you go to Mass, you'll definitely, or if you have gone to Mass, you'll hear this one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, life of the faithful, glory of the humble, blessedness of the just, listen kindly to the prayers of those who call on you, that they who thirst for what you generously promise may always have their fill of your plenty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And today's saint is Saint Fidelis of Sigmaringen.
Sigmaringen.
So, yeah, we get to hear about him today.
All right.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I'd like to know where Sigmaringen is.
I'm not quite sure. I didn't go that far.
I don't imagine
research.
It's over by Bro Bridge or anything like that.
So. It is. I don't think it's in Bro Bridge.
Okay.
Maybe Ville Platte. Maybe Ville Platte.
<Okay. laughs>
Well, we will learn more about our saint later on during our Saint of the Day at 17 after, but we'll tell you ways that you can connect with Catholic Community Media on the go. Did you know we have a free app? Well, it's brand new. It's updated, and there's so many things on there we want to give you details about. I know we had some kinks kind of in the beginning where we were working things out. Things weren't working. Everything should be working now. So we're going to be, it's been prayed over. It's been blessed. It's been sprinkled with holy water numerous times. So we give it to God. But so we're going to kind of touch on that in ways that you can tune your heart to the truth throughout the day. In 18 minutes, Peter Finney joins us. He's the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And Peter has a wonderful issue that you can find this week in the Archdiocese. He will give us details about these stories. In 35 minutes, Archbishop Alfred Hughes joins us, Emeritus Alfred Hughes, author of Spiritual Masters, Living and Praying in the Catholic Tradition. He wrote a new book, and he is going to be giving us all of the details.
Actually,
and we
Gabby,
are so
it's
grateful.
It's a re-release of one of his old books. That's what Dina and I found that fascinating because when it came across my desk, I said, wait a minute, didn't I read that? And sure enough, it's a re-release.
Yeah, his first book's in 1998.
So it's good.
2024.
It's really
beautiful.
Good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, we love having him join us, and it's going to be a great interview with him. I was really excited to get this press release, and I said, absolutely, we love Archbishop Hughes, so we'll be talking to him later on. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Jordan Haddad joins us. He's a professor of dogmatic theology over at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans and the president of the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society. And we are continuing our Catholic 101 segment like we do every Wednesday, where we talk about the basics of our faith and maybe those questions that you want to ask but are too afraid to ask. I've been there. I'm still there, depending on the question. We're going to talk about guardian angels. Do we all have one? So Dr. Haddad is going to dive deeper into this topic. Many of you will say, yes, absolutely. Why are we even asking this question? Well, he's going to dive deeper into that as well. So stay with us. We have your gospel and reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me."
All right. Well, every now and then, our files are going to do what our files do because this is live radio and TV. And so every now and then the wrong gospel pops up and it's like computers, you know, it's not us. So the gospel today
is John 12. Yeah. Jesus is talking. Well, we're continuing the series in St. John, which is just, you know, from the bread of life to all the I ams, like gatekeeper. So he's talking about whoever believes in me, not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. So whoever sees me sees the one who sent me.
Right.
Which, you know, I came into the world as a light, so everyone who believes in me may not be in darkness. And remember the beginning of St. John's Gospel, the light came into the world, And so Jesus is basically, saying that he came to save the world, to be the light in the world, and to be the face of God.
Right, right.
You know, for humanity. And
then when you get towards the end of the gospel, then you realize, I mean, it really is to talk to Christ is to talk to God. To pray to Christ is to pray to everything is because they are one with each other. And that part's sinking in because I have a tendency to separate it.
Yeah.
I just do,
No, don't separate. And it's like, keep it together.
Keep it together. You should do that. Dina, I read another reflection this morning on that.
It just
blew my mind. And it was such a simple little reflection. But the evil in our world and the things that just surround us and everything and get to us, a lot of what gets to us is fear, right?
Yeah,
he compared it, the comparisons that he had, is like it's the same thing when we were little kids.
Yeah,
we're laying in our room in the dark, and the darkness scares us because of all the stuff we imagine.
Right,
right,
right.
In walks dad or mom and turns on the light, and it's gone.
And everything's fine.
And everything is fine. Once that light comes on, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was a good comparison, I thought.
And today's gospel in chapter 12 of St. John talks about Jesus, why he came, why he came. This is his purpose. This is his mission. And but the Father who sent me commanded me to say what to say and to speak.
Yeah.
And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father has told me.
Mm-hmm.
So God the Father is through Jesus telling us, I'm sending my only son. Listen to him. He's the light. Follow him. Like the other day's reading was the gate. I'm the gate, the gatekeeper.
Right.
So whoever comes through me comes to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So through Jesus Christ, we come to understand and know God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit that's just poured upon us, through the sacraments.
Yeah. And go ahead, Gabby. I'm sorry.
Well, this phrase sticks out to me all the time. Well, not phrase, the verse sticks out to me every time I see this gospel. It says, I came into the world as light so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Yeah.
It is so clear. It is written. It is so clear what Jesus is asking of us. And I think sometimes we can get so bogged down with what's going on in our world today and, the distress and the negativity and the, oh my gosh, what is going on? It's not going my way. That we forget what's written and why Jesus came in the first place. I think it's because it was so long ago that Jesus actually physically came on this earth. But he's here with us every day.
Yes.
He walks with us every day.
Yeah.
And this is such a good reminder, especially when this gospel comes around. I think it comes at the perfect time.
And the more we come to know him through scripture, through participating in the sacraments and through prayer, then the more that light is going to be radiant upon us, right? And we allow it because sometimes our sin will block it. Our sin's going to block the rays of the light, So we it's like turn away from the darkness and turn back towards the light. And it's so brilliant. We were talking about the eclipse and how people were so moved by, the moon blocking the sun, but the rays of the sun, you still can see that. So you can still see the sun, but if you look at it, it's going to blind you, right?
Yeah.
Well, same too with our Lord Jesus, right? We're not quite ready to see the fullness of God. And so he sends his son that illuminates and radiates the love of God in our lives so much that we can't help but gaze upon the Lord and we encounter Him and things that we say and do and other people in the Eucharist profoundly, which is why Eucharistic revival is so important. Inviting people back home to the church is so important. And just be that light of Christ for other people.
Yeah.
So when we speak and act, are we speaking and acting, you know, in what the Lord would tell us to say?
Right.
You know, so just following the path of Jesus. But all that anxiety that you're talking about, Gabby, it's like, play, the Lord is not anxious. He is not anxious at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And neither should we be. So the closer our relationship, the more at peace we are. Not that there's not things happening around us.
Well, yeah.
Peace of Christ is very real.
But you said it yourself. You turn away from the darkness and towards the light. So the stuff is still happening around us.
Right.
And you're right. Some stuff can't ignore because it affects you directly. But a lot of that stuff you can turn away from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. You know, we don't have to partake. Temptation's one thing. Action is another. So the more that we cleave to our Lord Jesus and in community and prayer with other people, holding each other accountable, sustainable, strengthened through our love of the Lord together can help us stay away from temptation and stay in the light of Christ, you know, which reveals everything, you know.
Sure.
So admitting all of our faults and our weaknesses, but also to knowing that the Lord came not to condemn us, right, but to lift us up. Like
That's
He loves us more than anything, anyone.
Yes.
Now, that's why I always tell my children, I love you, but Jesus loves you a little bit more than I do. Not much. I'm a close
not
second.
Not much more, okay.
But, you know, it's just, but that He gave His life for us.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And not, like Gabby said, not to condemn, you know, but to uplift and to bring into eternal life, which is the destination, right?
Absolutely.
You know, because we love the Lord so much, we want to be with Him, you know, and find Him in the darkness.
And Gabby, it was a long time ago, but it was something else I had learned that, I mean, I'd heard in a homily recently. He didn't leave us as orphans.
Correct.
You know, He comes to us every day, all the time, in a more intimate way, you know, in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So speaking of Eucharist, we got a lot to talk about later on, don't we?
I know, Father Matthew Dunn's going to come on tomorrow and talk about Eucharistic revival, which is something that's really powerful and something that's going to impact the Diocese of Baton Rouge coming up in June.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah.
All right.
Beautiful.
Well, real quick, I wanted to say, download our free app. We have a new app. Just search Catholic Community Media in the App Store or Google Play. You can listen to Wake Up on the Go, interviews that are our favorites, and so much more. The Mass audio is on there as well. It's super awesome. You can watch us. So there's plenty of opportunities to tune your heart to the truth on the go. Stay with us. It's 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Fidelis of Sigmaringen. It was the early 1600s, and today's saint had a promising law career in front of him, until he grew so disgusted with the corruption and injustice he saw among his colleagues that he quit his job and turned to religious life instead. Following his ordination as a Capuchin Franciscan, Fidelis displayed an array of gifts. He was an especially holy and prayerful person and was devoted to the sick. A bishop in Switzerland invited the Capuchins to preach to the people in the eastern part of the country who had abandoned Catholicism for Protestantism. Fidelis was asked to head the dangerous mission, dangerous because religious tensions were high and violence was quite possible. Initially, Fidelis and the other preachers met with success and were responsible for a number of conversions, but the longer they stayed, the greater the risks. One day in the spring of 1622, Fidelis was in the middle of a sermon when a shot was fired at him. He escaped unharmed, but afterwards, on the road back, he was attacked and killed by a group of 20 armed men. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson, and Dina Dow joins us in the Baton Rouge studio. Dina is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and we're so grateful to have her join us today and be a part of the morning show. It's been so much fun having you with us, Dina.
Thank you. It's great to be here in the mornings. Yeah, we have some great guests today, too, especially one coming up.
Yep.
That's right. Peter Finney joins us. He's the general manager and editor of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Peter, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Gabby. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I'm glad we're starting off with this story because this is probably one of the coolest stories I saw last week.
I love
Gail Benson, New Orleans Saints owner, Pelicans owner, met Pope Francis last week and gave him a special gift. Tell us a little bit about it. For those who don't know what it was, this is so cool.
it was really, really nice. She's a member of the Papal Foundation, which raises money for charitable efforts of the Holy Father across the world. And so once a year, they meet in Rome for a few days for a pilgrimage, and they go to different, celebrate Mass at different churches, and they get presentations and things like that. But they also get to meet with the Pope. And so it's the first time she actually has been to Rome to meet Pope Francis. And she said, well, I'm going to bring something special. And she gave him a #1 white Saints jersey and had Papa Francesco on the back. You know, that's his name. So he plays free safety for the Saints now. So
yes,
how to do this year. But she said, they just had a little chit-chat. She said, it seemed like he really liked it, but he may have thought it was a soccer jersey. You know?
It does. It looks like a,
But he had a good time. And actually, it was the third time that Gail Benson has met a pope. She met both John Paul II and she met Pope Benedict with her husband, Tom. This is a year after the Super Bowl when the Saints won the Super Bowl, and Tom Benson had on his big Super Bowl ring, and he went up to see Pope Benedict to greet him, and they showed each other their rings.
That's so cool.
And Tom Benson showed him the Super Bowl ring, which is a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it was.
I love that. Well, first of all, so a local news outlet out of New Orleans shared the photo, and you guys, the comment section was just savage.
I can imagine.
It was mainly about football and how even Pope Francis's prayers can't help the Saints, or the comment section was hilarious, but it was so cool to see this. I mean, what a picture, you know? Yeah. It's so cool. So I'm so glad.
Gabby, I think I have a feeling we're going to need every prayer imaginable.
See? Yes. I mean, the team really needs this player. Yes.
Oh, my God. So cool. We shared it on our Facebook page last week. So if you have not seen the photo, head over to our Facebook page. Just search Catholic Community Media. Kind of scroll down a little bit. It is from last week, and you'll see it right there. If you can't find it, message us, and we'll make sure to get that picture to you because it's super cool. So definitely take a look at it. Well, let's kind of switch gears. We'll keep it on the topic of Pope Francis. Archbishop Amon is asking people to join Pope Francis in praying for an end of war. Kind of talk about, Peter, what he's saying in this column.
Well, really, I mean, ever since even before the conflict, the war in Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine, and then now in the Middle East, you know, Israel and Hamas, Pope Francis has pleaded for the warring sides to sit down and have a ceasefire, release the hostages, and let's talk. Just war, always and everywhere is a defeat. He said, you think that war is a solution. It's not. And Archbishop Amon is just saying, hey, we have to listen to Pope Francis and pray for these warring sides to understand the pain, the suffering that they're causing on people. And always, you know, certainly self-defense, is certainly understood and everything. But, you know, there's so many wars. There's 110 wars going on around the world right now. And ones we've never even heard of.
Yeah.
The Pope is asking for peace. And we need to pray for that.
110.
My goodness. Yeah, we'll definitely take a look at that. Well, you know, gearing toward this time of year, it's not only wedding season. I think I talked to someone that said they had 5 weddings. They're a photographer in New Orleans over the weekend 2 weeks ago that they just went to, but it's also First Communion season. So it's a busy time of celebrations. Yeah. Talk about First Communion in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, because I think Jazz Fest is right now. Or it's approaching. Haven't quite looked at the calendar, but there's so many things to celebrate. So tell us about how the Clarion Herald is covering the First Communion season.
Yes. Well, you know, so many parishes right now are having their second graders usually, receive First Communion. And we went to Holy Name of Jesus Church and had some really great photos of these, you know, boys and girls receiving the Eucharist for the first time. And the Jesuit Father Thibodeau talked about how, they're receiving at the table of the Lord for the first time, how important it was. And then just the pictures kind of speak for themselves, coming up in their white dresses and white suits. And it's such a special occasion, and one that they will remember the rest of their lives. And so Father Mark Thibodeau just said, hey, please remember this and, you know, always just remember how special Jesus is to you, and you can receive him into your heart every time you come to Mass.
Oh my goodness, so true. You also have a story on a photo you found of a historic 1966 ordination. Kind of talk about that.
Oh yeah, that's incredible. A parishioner at St. Gabriel the Archangel, his father in 1966, and the son, he was only 12 years old when he went down, went to the Episcopal ordination of Bishop Harold Perry, and it was historic because Bishop Perry was the first black U.S. bishop in modern times. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a famous scene of black and white photos, of placards, of white protesters saying, how dare you, ordain a black man as a bishop or a priest. And so there was this real kind of consternation, but the procession went on. There's been no color photos that we know of, but this this parishioner, his father took a Kodak camera and took color pictures and gave them to Father Tony Ricard, who's the pastor at St. Gabriel, and also is a Bishop Perry is like his father figure and a spiritual father to him. And he could not believe it when his parishioners gave those pictures to him. Beautiful thing. So we ran some color pictures and some black and white photos and talked about how the pictures were made and found. And it's a very nice story about a very historic moment, not only in New Orleans Catholicism, but really around in the U.S.
I have to admit, I was taken aback because it's a high quality. One of the photos that you shared with us, it's a high quality photo, but the lady holding the sign, I can't remember what the sign said, but it looked like a modern picture. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? And then I realized it was from 1966, really caught me off guard.
Jesus did not have any non-white apostles.
That's right. That's what it said. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's like, and I did, it looks so good. The photo was such a high quality that it caught me off guard. It's like, who would be doing this now? And it's like, oh, that was 1966. But still, it's got quite the impact.
It did.
Amazing. Yeah. So many photos to see in this week's issue of the Clarion Herald. And you also talk about this as well. Cabrini High School teacher Ann Smart is saying goodbye to the classroom after 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That is incredible.
And Gabby, she's taught in the same classroom her entire career at Cabrini. She's won all kind of accolades for her teaching. And as a science teacher, her goal has been to make science fun for the kids, because it can really intimidate students, but she's found different ways to do that. She's been honored all over the place with her thing. She said she loves her job. The only thing is she lives in Covington. She's not going to miss the commute every day across the bridge.
That's true. My goodness. 45 years. I can't imagine. 45. Same class. Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
That's beautiful.
That's dedication too.
My goodness.
Such commitment.
Most definitely.
Okay,
and then you have this one. This is hilarious. You said, if you think a man with a rake who's trying to keep New Orleans safe from flooding is a little like doing, I don't know who this is. Sorry, guys. I don't know who that is.
Come on, Gabby.
I know. Peter, tell me. Who is that?
Don Quixote with tilted windows. People thought he was crazy.
Yes.
Well, James Cain had a rape, okay? And every time there's a little bit of a forecast of a rain, he knows that means flooding in New Orleans. So he goes out and rakes his catch basins, but he can't get inside, which are supposed to be taken out by, you know, these vacuum trucks, which never arrived.
Right.
And so, of course, his street flooded again. But, you know, he's still out there. Every time it rains, he's out there with his rake trying to do his part.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, come on. James Cain is saying, come on, city of New Orleans, get your act together.
Like that. Don Quixote, that is good. There's That's his hilarious. Jousting a windmill there. But he's doing something. I mean, you know, if nothing else, he's burning off anger and energy. That's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Peter, where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy of the Clarion Herald?
You can go to clarionherald.org. It's up right now, the electronic edition. And it's available, of course, at Mass in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. This Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Thank you so much. Peter Finney, General Manager of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you for being with us today.
All right.
All right. Peter's done. He's done. Off. He's like, starting his day.
Mike is off.
He's like, I can't. You didn't know who that was. I'm over it. So thank you so much.
But the pictures in this issue are pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really good.
Take that up. Great stories. So good.
Most
I love
definitely.
The science teacher. That's so great. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, stay with us. We have more coming up right after the break. It is 6:30 on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Dina Dow. And right now, we have a very, very special guest, Archbishop Emeritus Alfred Hughes is joining us this morning. Good morning, Archbishop.
Good morning, David and Dina.
Good morning, good Archbishop.
Good to be reunited with Catholic Community Radio.
It really is. And Dina, I have to tell a little side story here, Dina. When Catholic Community Radio was a twinkle in our eye, okay, we were just working on getting it started in Baton Rouge. And my wife and I had gone to Mass, and Bishop Hughes at the time in Baton Rouge. And we had come out, and we were greeting him, and he said, how are things going? And I just said, please pray. We're trying to get Catholic Radio started in Baton Rouge. And he grabbed our hands and said, ooh, let's pray for that now. Yes. We really need to get this going. Well, here we are. Now we're in Baton Rouge. Now we're in New Orleans. We're kind of everywhere, and it's all because of you, Archbishop Hughes. Thank you.
Not all because of me, but I rejoice with you, and I rejoice with your listening family. That it is a blessed congregation that you reach out to.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a blessing for the church.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And we're here to talk about your book, Spiritual Masters, Living and Praying in the Catholic Tradition. And when this came over my desk, Archbishop, I said, wait a minute, I think I read that book before. This is a re-release, isn't it?
It is. The impetus for this book originally was in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
I don't know whether you remember, but I wanted to offer an opportunity for those who wanted to take seriously the living of their Christian spiritual life, the invitation to come together at the Catholic Life Center in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And we offered a series of talks that both addressed the different steps in taking seriously that journey, mm-hmm. and introduced listeners to what it might mean to profit by the Catholic Christian tradition in reading some of the classics. So that was the impetus for the first edition, mm-hmm. of this book. And many of those who participated encouraged me to consider writing. So it was people like yourself that encouraged me and led to the original publication.
Well, is it a compilation of that course? Was it just a compilation of the works that you did for that course? Is that it?
Well, the impetus came from that.
Okay.
Of course, I expanded on it and developed it. But it was really my desire, inspired by Francis de Sales, to reach out as a bishop to help ordinary members of the faithful to take seriously the baptismal call to holiness of life. So that's what I experimented with, and eventually led to the original edition. And this latest is an updated revision in light of developments that have taken place since then.
Yes, absolutely. I noticed that in the introduction as well. But it is good to get back to reading this book. Let's give an overall explanation of what this book entails. It's a spiritual journey, but you're doing this through various saints and writers, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm. What I try to do in each of the chapters is to introduce a step in the journey. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, people experience different particularities in engaging in that journey, but there are some common steps. So each chapter introduces a new step. And to then illustrate how that step may be lived out, I turn to spiritual classics.
Right.
And I introduce the reader or the listener to a spiritual master that helps to experientially spell out how that step gets lived in life.
Right.
So this serves a twofold purpose. It opens up the journey and the steps we need to take, but it also introduces people to rich classical literature that they may on their own want to pick up and read as well.
No, you're absolutely right. It is an introduction, and some of the folks I had not heard before, but then again, you've got the regulars. You've got Teresa of Avila. You got Catherine of Siena, St. John of the Cross. You've got Augustine, Alred, St. Alred, and then Benedict, all throughout this, but it applies to different aspects of our lives, and that's the part that I like. Can it be read, some of this, out of context and still get the fullness of it?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
In other words, if somebody says, I want a richer prayer life, and then you have Prayer and Real Life by Teresa of Avila. Could they just go to that chapter, or would it be more fruitful just to read the entire journey through?
Well, I would hope that each chapter is a standalone that could be helpful.
Great.
I do encourage, however, someone who wants to take seriously the whole journey.
Yeah, I see.
To read the whole text, because we can become simplistic about the Christian life and just focus on one aspect or another. This attempts to be holistic and recognize that in order to be faithful to the Catholic spiritual tradition, it's important to keep all of these elements together.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It is. I'm sorry,
I
Dina.
I think what I love about Archbishop, this is Dina Dow in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. I think what I love about it is that you set the foundation, and then you show a great witness through one of the spiritual masters and the saints. Talk about how, when we're sharing the faith and handing on, how can we be witnesses in the same way? How can we grow in that holiness and become witnesses as these great saints and spiritual writers are?
Well, I think the most important thing is that what we're nurturing and developing interiorly is then expressed exteriorly First, in the way in which we relate to those closest to us, for whom we have the greatest responsibility, family. Mm-hmm. And then in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the wider community. The best way to witness is to be true to the interior life and make sure that there is a correlation between what's developing interiorly and how we're acting exteriorly. That's why, for instance, Teresa of Avila makes clear that if there is not a correlation between prayer and growth and virtue, we have to call into question the authenticity of the prayer life.
Right.
Prayer life is supposed to blossom into virtue, both personal and social.
Right.
And, you know, we also need to recognize that the particular virtues that we want to focus on need to be related to our vocation in life.
Well, Archbishop Hughes, I'm afraid we have run out of time. This is a wonderful read. Archbishop Emeritus Alfred Hughes, thank you so much. I really want to have you back soon. Would you join us again?
Happy to.
All right.
And God bless the very important ministry that you're engaged in. And God bless all of the listeners that are part of your family.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Welcome back to Wake Up. It is 48 after the hour. If you have to be somewhere by 8 o'clock, you're almost there. So no rushing through the traffic.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Right?
You didn't say you're running late.
You're almost there. You're almost there. And speaking of almost there, it's time for our Catholic 101 segment with Dr. Jordan Haddad. I'm so excited. Really appreciate the brilliance of this gentleman, this young man, I say, professor of dogmatic theology at Notre Dame Seminary and the president of the St. Louis, the Ninth Art Society. So welcome, Dr. Haddad. How are you doing today?
Doing great. And that was a beautiful transition, Dina.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, this is one of my favorite topics that you're talking about today, specifically because my daughter was born on October 2nd, which is the Feast of the Guardian Angels, right?
So that was my recent son this past year.
Okay.
And actually, one of his nurses in the delivery room was named Angel, which was a little
odd. Come on.
Okay, the Lord's just showing off now at this point. I found a quote with St. Jerome, so we'll start with this. And St. Jerome writes, "How great the dignity of the soul, since each one has from his birth an angel commissioned to guard it." Hmm. So let's talk about guardian angels.
Yeah, it's a beautiful quote from St. Jerome. So first I'll just say a little bit about what an angel is, and then I'll talk specifically about guardian angels. So we know that angels exist not by natural reason. We don't deduce it just from our experience of the world, but maybe that's true for some people. But really, we know that they exist by virtue of the revelation made known to us through scripture and tradition. And according to St. Augustine, the term angel designates not what they are, but rather who they are. So St. Augustine writes that angel is the name of their office, not of their nature. If you seek the name of their nature, it is spirit. If you seek the name of their office, it is angel. So angels are spirits, and that term angel actually signifies what their responsibility and vocation and mission is within God's providential plan of salvation history, because angels, you know, are like us insofar as they're creatures. They're made in God's image. But unlike us, they're pure spirits who are specially tasked by God with communicating with us his will, directing us, and really helping the human race to follow the will of God across salvation history. And we see the presence of angels scattered about throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. Now, when it comes to guardian angels in particular, we know that they exist and that we have one because Jesus tells us as much in Matthew chapter 18. That's when he's speaking about true greatness in the kingdom of God. And then he takes a little child and he puts him in the midst of the apostles. And he says, you know, none can enter the kingdom without becoming like a child, you know, innocent, humble, dependent. And then he goes on to say, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father. So what Jesus is saying here is that each child, and here we can reasonably just sort of like extrapolate from just children to all people, have an angel that's assigned to them, and these angels behold the face of the Father in heaven and really serve to guide us on the path to salvation across our lives, you know, through the myriad of different experiences that a given person might have. Always the good Spirit directing us to do the will of God. And from elsewhere in Scripture, for example, in Exodus 23, Psalm 91, we see mentioned that certain angels are dispatched not to communicate a message or work a miracle or execute punishment, but simply to guard human beings from that which would harm them, right? Which is where we get the name guardian angels from. And finally, the best sort of example and image of a guardian angel is given to us in the book of Tobit. So in the book of Tobit, we have Tobit's son, Tobiah, who goes on a journey that's ultimately going to end in his marriage and his family. And he has to deal with all sorts of dangers, including literally battling an evil demon. And in all of this, the angel Raphael has a mission to protect him. And that's the key thing. Raphael is a guardian and a protector because he doesn't do the work for Tobiah, but rather he clears the path for him. He assists him when he needs help. But Tobiah still has to do the work of his own calling, of his own humanity, of the mission that he's on. And so guardian angels are those special protectors that God gives us on our path to him.
I think that's so comforting too, you know, don't you think, Dr. Haddad, you know, that the opportunity that the Lord knows that we need, you know, super substantial help here on earth to open the way for us to follow his will and be protected and guided along the way. I think that's just so powerful.
Yeah, we're never alone, you know, and that's the key thing there. We can be let down by family members, by friends, by coworkers, by so many different people in our lives. But obviously, God never abandons us. He never lets us down. And one of the sure signs of his unending love and care and protection of us is our guardian angels, you know, and that all people have from birth. It's not something we receive at baptism. Every person has a guardian angel simply by virtue of their existence because God loves us and he wants us to enter into friendship with him.
And those guardian angels are also guiding people as parents, too. I think, you know, now we're in the grandparent stage, and our youngest daughter's expecting her first child. And I've been asking for intercession of his guardian angel already, assigned. For, you know, the moment he's ensouled at conception, you know, that guardian angel is protecting not only him, but also my daughter's guardian angel is protecting her, you know, and so it's just kind of this thing. And then at baptism, I always imagine like everybody's guardian angels just dancing, you know, and celebrating because this child is being brought into the body of Christ.
I gotta admit, y'all, I have a weakness, and mine is the awareness. I keep forgetting about that until it's brought up as a topic. And I'm like, well, that's a wonderful thing that we have here. How do I keep this in front of me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If my guardian angel is right there with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
How do we remember that, Dr. Haddad? What do you think?
Well, you know, there's that really beautiful, simple prayer that, you know, we're all taught as Catholics, as children, you know, angel of God, my guardian dear, such and so forth. Yeah. That's a great, you know, that's a great little devotional to be able to pray at morning, at noon, and at night.
Yeah.
Like you said, to really keep our angels in front of us and to be aware and cognizant of that every step of the way.
I will do that.
And I think a good reminder too, what Dr. Haddad was saying, is that God is always present with us and sends us those that protect us along the journey. So thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Haddad, again for Catholic 101. And to get in touch, St. Louis Art Society, St. Louis the Ninth Art Society is sl9art.com. Beautiful things happening through St. Louis, the Ninth Art Society. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Take care.
You too. And as Dr. Haddad led well into our closing prayer.
Yeah, he did.
The guardian angel prayer will be our closing prayer today. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, To whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, rule and guide. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So I will be repeating this throughout the day, just to keep that awareness in front of me. Because, I mean, it's if we have this wonderful gift that's right there with us, you know. And I know Padre Pio emphasized that a lot. If you can recall, he was sending his on missions and such. Right. And it's like, well, I just want to get to know mine.
Sometimes I tell my guardian angel to talk to my husband's guardian angel.
Because you don't feel like speaking to him right now? Is that what you're saying,
Dina? Keep him safe, you know, and things like that. Yeah. Can you speak to my husband's guardian angel?
Well, Dina, thank you for coming in with us today.
Thanks so much for sharing this time. Yeah, and thanks for all you that listen each and every day and watch. This is such an amazing apostolate of evangelization, and it's just something that, you know, really commit yourselves to.
Great. Yeah. And it, yes. All right. Well, tomorrow we are going to have Deacon Paul Swallow at St. Thomas More. That's in Baton Rouge. Join us. David Dawson Jr., some guy by the name of that name, is going to be joining us. And Father Matthew Dunn, we're going to get an update on the Eucharistic revival. Once again, thank you for joining us on Wake Up.
Dave, you need to say thank you to the crew, too.
And thank you to Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton for audio and making us look good and sound good. God bless y'all.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.